Well, after this is how our text from Job begins this week, which begs the question, after what? What just happened right before this chapter of Job picked up? And while we'll get to that in a moment, I first want to ask, have you ever had a friend or a group of friends console you when you were at a low point? Maybe a job interview gone wrong, or a disheartening breakup or divorce, the loss of a loved one. When we are low, when we are suffering, those are the times in which we tend to find out who our true friends are. They are the people who show up, and they sit with us, they support us. They show up and they do what they can to lessen our suffering. We want to alleviate our suffering. We don't want to feel down. We don't want others to feel down. We don't want to get caught in despair or pain or sorrow. And certainly, we don't want to suffer alone. The desire to alleviate suffering is where we find Job and his friends today as we continue this sermon series on Job. Job's group of friends have shown up. They're trying to support him, trying to console him. They're saddened for him, mourning for him. They want his suffering to go away just as much as he does. Well, maybe not quite as much. When we find Job, he's actually wishing that he hadn't been born, cursing the day of his birth. Job says, "Let the day perish in which I was born, let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it or light shine on it. That night, let thick darkness seize it. Yes, let that night be barren." It's an extreme response to wish away the day of one's birth. But still, it's not entirely unfamiliar. Job is not the first person to suffer. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of other folks who face great tragedies, terrible losses. They suffer and they would give anything, do anything to alleviate the pain. Abraham and Sarah, the parents of a great nation, were not always so blessed. For years they were barren, afraid that they would never have a child. In their suffering, Sarah is so distraught that she finally tells Abraham to sleep with her slave Hagar, produce an heir for them with another woman to end their suffering, even as this new child only causes Sarah more suffering in her jealousy and causes Hagar suffering in her abuse and eventual banishment. Later on in the biblical story, we read of the Israelites who, after having suffered for years under the enslavement of Pharaoh, find themselves in the desert, looking for ways to alleviate the suffering of wandering, hunger, and exhaustion. So they make themselves a golden calf, hoping that if they worship it, their pain will end. Again and again, the psalmists cry out in suffering, asking God to end their struggles, fix their brokenness, take away the suffering. And Jesus, as he prays in the garden with his disciples before his arrest and death, begs God to take away the cup of suffering. Let there be another way. Suffering and the desire to alleviate it, it's not new. And it's not unique to Job. It's not unique to you or me either. Whether we turn to pain relievers or sleep aids or therapy or more extreme measures, you and I don't like to suffer. We want the pain to go away. We want to feel better, or at the very least, to feel numbed. We want to alleviate our suffering. Here's the good news. God is with us no matter what. God is with us whether we are in pain or experiencing great joy. God sits with us in moments of goodness and moments of despair. God never leaves us. Again, in these biblical stories, suffering is not the end. For all their sorrow, Abraham and Sarah do eventually have their own child, and through him they are blessed as the relatives of an entire nation of children. And Hagar, who was cast out into the desert with her illegitimate son, goes on to be the first person in the Old Testament to speak to God in the first person, to name God, as God provides her and her son Ishmael with water and makes with them their own covenant. The Israelites do eventually make it out of the wilderness. God provides them with food until they reach the promised land, and then they are free. For all the psalms that cry out to God in anguish, there are many more that sing of God's wonderful works. And Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, who faces the ultimate suffering, is then raised to life anew, restored so that not only is he remade, but so that all of us might be saved from our suffering and given new life too. Today we don't hear how Job's suffering ends. What we get is a long list of questions, of anguish. But notice what doesn't happen. God never says, "Sorry, too busy for you. I don't have time to hear your sorrows." God doesn't say, "This is just what you get. This is just your lot in life. Now get over it." God does not ignore Job. And Job's story isn't over. In fact, we're not even halfway through. Instead, God surrounds Job with friends, friends who remind Job of his strength and his faith. And God continues to be with Job. In our reading, we skip over chapter 5, moving straight to chapter 7. But in chapter 5, Job's friends remind him of God's promises. In famine, God will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. At destruction and famine, you shall laugh and shall not fear the wild animals of the earth. You shall know that your tent is safe and that your descendants will be many. Despite all that Job faces, he is reminded that God will not leave him, will not give up on him. And this promise, reiterated through the words of Job's friends, the promise is for us too. There is nothing that you can ever go through that will separate you from the love and presence of God. God is never too busy for you. God never says your problems are too little for me to care about or your worries are too superficial. God will never leave you. God will never ignore you. God is with you no matter what. You and I are invited to be honest with God. We are invited to be open with God. We are invited to tell God what we truly think and feel, the good, bad, and the ugly. God can take it. We hear today that Job certainly didn't hold anything back. "I will not restrain my mouth," he says. "I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Job is not afraid of what God might think of his anger. He is not concerned that God will punish him for talking back. Job is honest with God. He lays it all on the table, boldly proclaiming, "This is where I'm at today. It's awful, and I'm beyond angry about it. I'm miserable." Children of God, we can do this too. It is okay for us to be angry with God. It is okay for us to say, "Hey, God, this isn't fair." Again, our psalmist knew this, crying out, "How long, O Lord?" Hagar knew this, calling out, "Do not let me look upon the death of my child." And Jesus, as he died on the cross, knew he could say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God can handle your brutal honesty. And I think folks across our country are coming to terms with the fact that God can handle honesty. We are invited to come to terms with that too. We are seeing this with Black Lives Matter as folks demand justice, call out racism, and dare to ask why of both our governments and our God. We're seeing it as we continue our plea for COVID to end, praying, "Please, God, bring us health and healing." We see it in the boldness of our Lutheran faith, a faith grounded in Martin Luther's desire for honest conversation in the church and in our interactions of faith, a faith that says, "Here I stand. This is me. This is what I've got. This is what I believe." We are living in a world and a time that is begging for honesty. And so to start, we are invited to be honest with God. Friends, we live in a time where it can feel as though all we see is suffering. On the news, happening to our friends, occurring right in our own lives. With all the despair that comes with it, it can seem like God isn't with us, or doesn't care, or isn't doing anything to ease the pain. But God has promised to be with us through anything. Perhaps God's presence just looks different than what we are expecting. See, God doesn't promise us an end to suffering, but God does promise to be with us in our suffering. Since the beginning of time, God has been there in every moment, good and bad. God hears every word of thanksgiving or anger. We are invited to be honest with God about our suffering, our pain, our sorrow. God won't leave you for being honest. Instead, God says, "I hear you. I'm with you. I love you." Amen.